can I mind. Church, raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands. One last time. May His presence be in this place. May His presence come upon every person. May deliverance power tonight come upon every person in this place. May today every prison be opened. Every cage be opened. May every life in front of me be opened. May every chain be broken. I decree it and I declare it tonight. In Jesus' name, give Him a praise offering. Praise Him, church. Come on, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Zilia! Lebruska da lavandi lirelebereba. Zilia sterana. Zavruska travaka de liberema bruska tegedema. Praise Him, praise Him. A few more singers, praise Him, praise Him. Lebruska da lavaraka de liberema. Zilia! Zeraska tegedema. Zebruska da lavandi eske de liberema. Labuska de liberema. Let your power fall. Let your presence fall. Let your power come upon every person. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know that tonight you're going to be delivered. Many. And apart from that, secondly, I heard the Lord saying to me that He's going to bring deliverance, but He's going to give power to people. Fire. I shared this morning. I said, why does people sit in the church and they look sour? And if it is you, it's a demon, okay? So they look like, they look like the whole world is against them, sitting with a poor me party. Self-pity party. You know, the word is being preached, the anointing is flowing, they're just wandering off. And years after years, never having breakthrough. And I was asking the Lord this week, I said, why is it we've traveled from church to church to church, we'll bring revival. We've ministered to thousands at a time. And God has always used me to demonstrate power, meaning that evangelists are there to get people saved. Prophets, usually, in relation to the call of God that is on my life, God said to me, I've called you to demonstrate my power. That is it. We do altar calls, but my focus is not altar calls. My focus is to demonstrate His power. That is what God has called me to do. And we do altar calls in the midst of it and so on. But for the first year of this church, we never did an altar call. We had people coming after the service asking us to get saved, to get saved, to get saved. After a year, I told my people, my guys, okay, now we're doing altar calls. Now we'll start doing altar calls. And I asked God this week, I said, why is it that people can sit in a church? You know, you'll have some people jumping up, catching revelation, clapping hands, pulling it out, screaming, rejoicing. Why? Because something is moving in their spirits. But then you have other people. They'll just sit. I was seeing this morning. They'll just sit. They just look. One guy, I thought he was going to kill me. Sitting on that side. Just look at me like this. The whole time. Nothing. And the Lord said to me that we catch fish. We are fishers of men. We catch fish. But the church does not gut fish. So the fish are sitting in the church stinking, rotting. That's why their life is a mess. Deliverance is the gutting of a fish, removing its guts. Are you guys with me? Then you can put it in a fridge, in a cooler or so. But you cannot put a fish. Once you catch it, you must gut it. You guys know it. Otherwise, it begins to rot. You must clean it. And then, before you eat it, before it becomes tasty, a fish is placed on fire. Which means that directly after deliverance, the fire of God is required. It is a necessity. And too many people are held back with things where it's holding them down like chains. And they're sitting in church, their spirit cannot even respond to revelation. And when God has called me by an angel to plant the church, one of the things He said to me is that it'll be a place, a church where people will encounter the supernatural, meaning that my objective, my mission is to get people to encounter the supernatural where their spirit can react, can respond to revelation. When a believer's spirit does not respond to revelation, their spirit is dead. What do I mean by responding to revelation? When something is preached, listen, when we preach from the pulpit here, you'll see tonight, it's not dead words. It is alive. Like Jesus said to Peter. Like Jesus, listen. Like Jesus said to the crowd, He said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of me, you will have eternal life. If you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you will have eternal life. That sounds like a cult. Are you with me? Imagine Jesus standing in front of a few thousand people and He's saying, if you eat of my flesh. Now understand, Jesus didn't have a halo on His head. Are you with me? They knew Him as a prophet, many. Some knew Him as, only some knew Him as the Son of God. Others knew Him as a prophet, as others knew Him as a teacher. He's standing on this, in front of them and said, if you eat of my flesh, drink of my blood, then you'll have eternal life. If I say that, everyone here would walk out. I hope so. Unless those that I pay, okay? And the Bible said everybody walked, left Him. And all His other disciples left Him. Everyone. Are you guys with me? Except the 12 that was with Him. But which means that He had other disciples that left Him. Everybody, after that statement, left Him. And He asked His disciples, are you not going to leave also? And Peter answered and he said, where shall we go? You have the words of life. When a church doesn't have words of life, it has words of death. It's like I was thinking, I was sharing it this morning. I said, where is the John Knox people, revivalists, generals? John Knox, that would, the Bible would say, as he placed his foot on the ground of Scotland, that the Queen would shake in her boots and say, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Britain. Where are the people that carries power in them? Where they can go into a school, where they can go into, I don't know, workplace. But when you enter, there's power. Demon casting out people, nation shaking, tongue speaking, hands laying. Are you guys with me? Dead raising. When you walk in, that the devil knows. Wait. Somebody, listen. It's like when you are born. When Moses was born, Pharaoh knew in the atmosphere, a deliverer is born now. And he began to kill all the young boys. When Jesus was born, Herod felt in the atmosphere, a Savior is born by the prophecies and everything. Christians don't even know those things. And he began to kill all the little boys. That was the strategy. Right now, 2 out of 3 conceptions are aborted. Because Satan is thinking, somebody is being born. I don't know who it is. When greatness is born, the devil is aware of it. But what he doesn't understand, it's not one Moses, it's not one Jesus. It's a people that of bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit. You carry his DNA, his divine nature on the inside of you. I'm telling you tonight, the devil is in trouble in this place. If you are desperate, you will get not delivered only, but receive importation and power. Sit down. I want to share with you three things. Listen. Wait, I was thinking, where's the John Knoxes? Where is... I shared this morning. Where is St. Patrick's on Ireland that he was called, titled, the raiser of the dead? He would raise somebody that has been dead for 6 months. That is power. I'm going to speak tonight about three dangerous dimensions of power. Power to become. Power against. And power to be over. And then we will get into deliverance. Are you with me? Listen, I was thinking, where is St. Patrick that would raise, that are titled by kings, the raiser of the dead? A king inquired and asked of him to raise his dead son. And St. Patrick said, where is your son? Let me do it. He said, he's been dead for 3 weeks already. When he came to the grave with the king, and this is documented, St. Patrick would write on the ground with his finger on the grave his name. And he walked away and he said, dig up the grave. And they dig up the grave and his son was alive. If you believe it, you don't want to believe it. If you do, you can. When he was on a 40-day fast, a woman came to him and said, my son got bitten by a snake. And St. Patrick, big storm, just hold on. May the presence of God rain on you tonight. Your spirit shall be changed tonight. I promise you, when you receive revelation, it changes everything about your spirit. When Saint Patrick, he was on a 40-day fast, the woman came to him and said, my son was bitten, my child was bitten by a snake. He wasn't concerned. He was irritated because the devil interrupted his fast. And he said, where is the snake? And she said, it's there by the bush. He walked up, took the snake picked it up, looked at the snake and said, I, Saint Patrick, banish you from this island. From that day, Ireland has been snake free. Where is that authority? Where God said, I have made you in my image and my likeness to have dominion and power over nature. We don't understand. My whole thing tonight, and I'm going to be short so that we can pray. My whole thing tonight is that we may understand the royalty and divinity that is inside of you. When the devil comes and he oppresses you and you need deliverance, what he does, he removes your identity. Can you hear me? Can you hear me in the back? Okay. He removes royalty, divinity, and identity. When it's like, Christians walk around like this. I don't know how to say it. They walk around defeated, like complaining about everything, complaining about their salary, complaining about their income, complaining about what life is doing against them. Many of them are poor. One of the biggest demons is the demon of poverty that must be broken. Listen, and that demon will not manifest. You'll have the spirit of adultery manifest. You'll have the spirit of lust manifest. You'll see it tonight. You'll have these demons manifesting. But the demon of poverty hides itself and manifests in your bank account. And that spirit, if the body of Christ can get that spirit broken, because when Jesus delivered the madman on Gadarene, the Bible says the first thing that the madman did after he was delivered, he was seen by the people sitting in right, decent clothes. How? Listen. How? How are you going to touch and change a world when we're sitting in the church and we can't even get a business going or money coming in? But the world is making millions. How are you going to change them? The Bible said that Isaac, I hope you can hear me, have selective hearing right now, okay? The Bible says that Isaac was so wealthy, so prosperous, that the enemy, the Philistines, envied him. The world was jealous of how God blessed Isaac. I want to share just selective stuff. Say with you this. Say power. Say power to become. Say power against. Say power over. Three dimensions of power. When we get saved, there are three dimensions for us to go in. Put on John 1 verse 12. And I'll talk slow and not a lot because of the rain. Listen to this. King James. But as many as received him, everybody say with me, to them he gave power to become. Stop right there. When we receive him, we receive power to become. Whether it is healthy, whether it is rich, you must receive power to become. It's an identity. Listen. It is an encounter with God that gives you the power. When you go through deliverance, even tonight when we lay hands on you, however we're going to do it, when we lay hands on you, when deliverance takes place, you will walk out of this place completely free. I promise you. And we'll get into deliverance now. I had a great message, but I can't preach it like this, okay? So I had a phenomenal message. I mean, but we'll preach it maybe another Sunday. Just say with me, royalty, power to become. Go with me to Matthew 10 verse 1. Matthew 10 verse 1, King James Version. The second dimension of power. And when he had called his disciples, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, say with me, he gave them power against. The second dimension is when you receive power against sickness, against unclean spirits. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, listen. Since the day I was saved, I've had many try to attack me. I've had a gun put to my head. But when you understand that you have power, the Holy Ghost in you becomes power against. It doesn't. I've had people try to attack me with knives, a gun put to my head. One person that put the gun to my head. I remember sitting, and the power of God was in me and on me. And while I was sitting, in the person pulled out the gun, wanted to take everything from me. I looked him in his eyes. I was 20 years old. I looked him in his eyes. I said these words. I said, I will give you everything I have now, but do you know that you're touching God right now? God is in me. I looked at the man and I said, God loves you. And I remember there was power present. He began to shake like this, put his gun back in, stood and just looked at me. I stood up, I hugged him, and I remember giving him a Bible. I didn't have much to say, I was young. Power against. Since the day I got saved, nothing could touch me. I don't care. Nothing could touch me. God is, if God is for you, He's either for you or against you. Power, say with me, power. The third dimension is a dangerous one. Go with me to La Rono Zekata. Go with me to Acts. Acts chapter. Go through to John chapter 17 verse 2. John 17 verse 2. Put in the New King James. It says here, speaking about Jesus, you have given him authority. Say with the authority. Actual translation, power. Power over all flesh. Say with me, power over. I want to get to another scripture. The third dimension is power to take over. Say with me, power to take over. This is when you have understood the power to become, the power against. Now it is, you've been given the power to be over. It's what we call the power of leadership, where God puts you over people or a nation or a company or a business or a ministry. You receive power to rule over, authority to rule over. Let me look for a scripture. Wait. Zedan. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 7. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. But the Lord said to me, Jeremiah saying, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Next verse. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Next verse. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Next verse. See, this day I have set you, say with me, over nations and over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down. God is saying, listen, I have put my words in your mouth, so that this day I have set you and given you the power over nations and kingdoms. The power over. Go with me to now I can preach my great message that I want to preach to you. Acts. Let's go to Acts 17. Let me look for this. And when I preach, I don't really prepare. I go as the Spirit leads me. When I say the message that I prepared, it was me coming here and God said to me that story, and then I go and look for it. Go to Acts 17 verse 6. Acts 17 verse 6. Say with me, the power to take over. That is where you want to get. Where you understand, I have the power to become now. I have received the power to become. I have received the power against. Now I'm coming to the power where God gives you the power that places you over something. Listen. But when they, who's they, the believers, did not find them. Sorry. When they, these are the rulers that try to catch and try to persecute the believers. They did not find them. They dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Meaning that these believers, they have turned the whole known world at that time, the Roman Empire, the whole known world, they've turned it upside down. They've caused chaos wherever they've gone. They know they had power in them. If I can get you tonight to understand the power that is inside of you, where the Bible says that we are partakers of His divine nature. We are partnership with God. We are part God, part us. It's us in Him, partnership, partakers, divine partakers. That locked up inside of you is divine DNA, a divinity that the devil is afraid. When he looks at you, he sees the image and the likeness of God. Are you with me? Listen. Say with the power to become. Say power against. Say power over. When God gives you the power to be over something, it's the ability to take over. It's the ability to have, to walk like royalty. I was saying earlier, Christians, my God, I mean, you sit in a church or you preach. That's why one of the first verses God gave me was Jeremiah 1 verse 7. where he said to me, do not be dismayed by their faces. And when I preach, I began to realize the reality of that scripture. Okay? And Christians have this poverty, moping. I must be humble. It's all a pseudo false fake thing. Be like David, who when he was coming to Goliath as a young boy, he knew exactly what he could do. And when he went to the king, he said, listen, I know I can remove Goliath, but what will be given to me if I do that? What will be given to me? I want to negotiate this thing. I know I am arrogant. Okay. His brother says, what is this pride in your heart? Which means David walked in there with crazy confidence, knowing that he could have taken... And David said, I am not going to let this opportunity go by. He goes to the king, so he says, what will be given to the man who takes out that thing? He says, no, I'll give him land, all these things of my, most of the parts of my kingdom, my daughter, everything. And David thinks, okay, no, so let's put it in today's language. Property, land, kingdoms, slaves, employees, Ferraris, the wife of a king, a daughter of a king, this best friends with the son of a king. Let me take out this child. He knew who he was. It's time for us to walk like royalty. So, 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And this isn't planned. This is actually what the Holy Ghost gave you for tonight for you. Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Next verse. And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, are you at your service? Next verse. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lod, whatever. Next verse. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from the Lodebar. Next verse. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, who is royalty, are you guys with me? But he was lame in his feet, and if you study the story, he was forgotten for years. He even forgot the royalty that was in him. And he submitted to his circumstances. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself in front of him. You know, there's a thing called, you know, when we move in the prophetic, and we'll do it tonight as we're in a prayer, pray for people. There is a certain way and a secret, if I can say it like that, that you have to go by. There's certain codes in the prophetic. Let me give you an example. When John had a vision, and he was at the vision of heaven, and he wrote the book of Revelation, the Bible says he heard a voice behind him. Are you guys with me? Many times in the prophetic, when I prophesy over somebody or something, I'll move here or I'll walk there. Why? Because if I'm standing here, the voice might not be behind me, the voice might be there. And you'll only understand this if you read the book of Genesis, where the Bible says that the voice of the Lord walked with Adam and Eve. So the voice can walk. He fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, and while I'm preaching, we're just waiting for the people to go.
bad ones.
Okay. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore you all the land, say with me, all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Next verse. Then he bowed himself. Then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon him such, look upon such a dead dog as I? That means this is the mindset that this guy had. He'd forgotten his royalty. He'd forgotten his lineage. This church is planted in a lineage. I can tell you the lineage. There's a thing called ancient oil, which means that when we lay hands on you, you receive ancient oil. Let me tell you where it began. On the one side, it began with Morris Cirillo, who had so many healings, it is not even recorded, laid hands and imparted to my spiritual father's father, Pastor Harold. He laid hands and imparted to Pastor Mark. And I'm the one that he trained up, and he laid hands and imparted to me. That's the one side. Then you look at the other side and you see John Alexander Dowie, who built a literal city. There was so much healings, he thought he was Elijah. He gave that to John G. Lake. John G. Lake influenced a man called Benson Idahoza, whose first miracle at the age of 15 was raising the dead. At the age of 15, same day as he got saved, raised somebody from the dead. Benson Idahoza gave oil to Nicholas Duncan Williams, who gave oil to my mentor in life, Prophet Hubert Angel, who has given it to me. I'm not speaking of laying one's hands or seeing me once. I'm speaking of intimate relationship. These men of God, this is the lineage and the oil that this church has been planted. And you look at that lineage, those are the revivals, nothing else on this planet. And you can complain as much as you want. This ancient oil. It's like that song. I don't think the band knows it. Ancient Words. From Michael W. Smith. You don't know? Okay. Say ancient oil. When it goes down and down, all it does is it duplicates, multiplicates, replicates. Mephibosheth forgotten the royalty that was in him. Where was the scripture? Put on the scripture. It said he bowed himself. What is your sermon that you should I'm such a dead dog as I. Next verse. And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given to your master's sons all that belonged to Saul and to all his house. Next verse. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest for him, that your master's son may have food to eat. And Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. I'm not going to carry on because it kind of like repeats. Mephibosheth forgotten his royalty, but when he got delivered and somebody picked him up, everything was restored back to him. All of a sudden, from going lame, being affected, he was given servants that would even work for him and bring the food and money in. He was allowed to sit and eat at the table, at the king's table. Deliverance is coming your way. If you have been forgotten, tonight, I decree and declare restoration and deliverance. Go with me. Stand to your feet. Go with me to Zechariah 9 verse 12. Zechariah 9 verse 12. Zechariah 9 verse 12. Quickly. Quickly, 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 quickly. Z-E-C-H. Listen to this. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Say this with me. Say, even today, I decree that I will restore double to you. That is what I heard the Spirit of God saying. He didn't say tomorrow. He said today, I will restore double to you. May every prison door open. May every cage open. May every chain be broken. May power now come into this place. May power come into this place now. Raise your hands, raise your hands. Be hungry for Him. Come on, come on. May power come into this place.